The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
You dig it?
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and I am hailing to you guys from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, the gateway to the West. That's what we like to do here on the queue, and we have a huge show ready for you guys to set and launch as we speak. The U.S. government has been closed this past week, and we will talk about why. CrossFit seems to have a very libertarian feel to it. We're going to talk about that. And Breaking Bad has gone away for good, so we will offer up a few other shows you should check out to replace it. But without any further ado, let me introduce you guys to the guests and the people that make my show what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, first up, one of the greatest human beings that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting in my entire life. A few weeks ago, he joined my life. He's come onto the show. He is Producer Bobby. Producer Bobby,
what's
how are you
up,
doing,
what's up,
man?
How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How's your week been going?
It's been awesome. Spending time with the kids. We went and checked out Disney on Ice. Went to a hockey game. It was amazing.
A little bit of everything is what you're trying to say.
Absolutely.
And also joining me today, former co-host, comes in every once in a while, a great guest nonetheless, who always joins us and brings, some of the most interesting points of view that we've ever had on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Kruger's back with us again. How are you doing, Matt?
I am questionable.
Questionable. Why are you questionable? How's your week been going?
My week has been topsy-turvy.
A little topsy-turvy?
Yeah.
Do you want to get into discussing a little bit? I mean, you don't have to go into details or anything, but you know.
We can talk about it a little bit.
Let's talk about it. What's going on?
If it makes good radio.
Hold on. Let me get Dr. Love in here, okay? Dr. Love, hey.
Man, I am Dr. Love. How am I supposed to diagnose myself?
How do you diagnose yourself when you've got the world by the oysters, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so Matt, your world has been a little topsy-turvy. Go ahead. Please let everyone know.
Basically, I've been having some relationship troubles, and it's all up in the air, and it's very confusing and awfully awkward. And then, you know, I started a new job and I'm supposed to go on vacation next week. And like everything is so up in the air in my life right now. It's all questions
Are
and hardly
you
ever,
the reason-
hardly any answers. Right now, my life is the seasons of Lost.
The question is are you the reason why everything has gone to hell in a handbasket, topsy turvy?
Well, yeah, I would say that, you know, I take responsibility and I'm accountable for what you know, I try to be for what happens in my own life. So I will take my part and try to move on with it.
But I like your point there. Take your part, because in a relationship, it's two people, not one person. So two people have to be at fault.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say that I'm sole contributor to everything that's going on.
Right,
but
of course.
I definitely have a hand in it, and yeah. Whatever it may be.
You're the reason, Matt.
Out,
hey, listen, you're the reason why this relationship is not going well.
You're the reason in my life, and you're the inspiration.
You're the reason. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, this is a moderate liberal radio show that tends to discuss politics and entertainment and pop culture and all kinds of little great things. And we appreciate you guys being fans and listening to the show every single week. There's multiple ways you can get a hold of the show. We are live on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI every single week. If you go to theqnow.com, click on Listen Live, it'll show you the radio stations and the times that we are on at those radio stations.
Yep.
Also, if you would like, and you're not even within range, like say you're in your car, you got your cell phone next to you, but you're not in range of a computer, but you want to listen to the show live on 1280 AM KYRO or 1420 WINI, easy. Go and get the TuneIn app. The TuneIn app allows you to tune in. You just go search up 1280 AM KYRO on Sunday mornings at 8 AM, and guess what? Boom, there you are.
Yep.
You got us right there in your ears, playing in your car, playing while you're working out or whatever. Also, you can always get us the traditional ways, the ways that have made the queue popular in the past. iTunes. We have an iTunes feed.
Absolutely.
Go to theqnow.com. There's an iTunes button right there on the main page. Click it. It'll take you right to the iTunes feed.
You can set it up where it'll automatically download the newest episode of The Q right there on your phone.
The newest, the bestest. The bestest episodes.
The bestest.
The bestest is also, or you can go to Stitcher. Stitcher.com. Listen to The Q Show every single week on Stitcher.com.
Absolutely.
Just search up The Q or Mark Bland on Stitcher.com, and you'll be good to go. Gentlemen.
Yes,
we've
sir.
We've got an issue.
We
Matthew,
do.
Matthew, we have an issue. Your government. I know
here's the tissue.
I know your world is topsy-turvy right now, but your government is not open, sir. Your government is not open.
And my life has not been affected otherwise.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of people think that I'm going to come out here on my show and I'm just going to rail on certain things and just, like, you know, be against this and that. I think you guys are going to be quite interested to hear my point of view on this.
I am.
Addressing the partial government shutdown that went into effect this past week on the first day of open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act, President Obama praised his cornerstone health care legislation while also making it clear that he thinks some of the House Republicans are total a-holes. That's right. Standing in front of a group of people who had once been excluded from reasonably priced insurance due to things like pre-existing conditions, a group that is today benefiting from the law of Republicans are trying to retroactively gut Obama, put the blame on the government shutdown squarely on the GOP. At midnight on Tuesday, for the first time in 17 years, Republicans in Congress chose to shut down the federal government. Let me be more specific. One faction of one party in one House of Congress in one branch of government shut down major parts of government, all because they didn't like one law. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. That is 100% true statement. There is nothing about Barack Obama's statement in that statement right there that is not true.
Right.
It was literally one faction of one group of GOP Republicans in one House of Congress, not the Senate, only over here,
right?
That literally was the holdup factor. And that one group, that one shining piece of whatever you want to call them, crap, the S word, that one group was led by Ted Cruz and his filibuster, and that is the Tea Party.
It wasn't a filibuster, by the way.
It wasn't technically a filibuster. I mean, they played it under filibuster rules because they had to, because that's the way that goes. But you're right. It wasn't technically a filibuster.
Thank you.
You can't filibuster things that you agree with, that you're a part of, which makes you wonder, why would somebody actively, like, this would be the equivalent, Bobby and Matt, of you guys going to your house, okay?
Right.
Buying a brand new car, right? You get it home, you pull it into the driveway, then you stand out for 21 hours on your porch in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you just point at the car and go, I hate that car. That car is the biggest piece of trash that has ever existed. I don't like it. How dare you, car, exist in my driveway, even though you're the one who just drove it up there.
Right.
And parked it.
I've owned cars like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are, that's not the way life works in general. Like, most people don't buy things they don't like. They don't go against things that they propose.
Then what do you call buyer's remorse?
Buyer's remorse is after the fact. We're talking about within days of going out of your way to make sure something gets involved.
Have you ever been approached by a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or somebody else with those coupon people?
But Ted Cruz and them did not have buyers.
I'm just saying, the magazine people, and you're like, I don't really want to buy this.
I'll be the first
one. But I'm going to buy it anyway because it's kind of nice. And
I'll be the first to admit.
It might come in handy.
I'll be the first to admit. Ted Cruz and them guys, though, did not have buyer's remorse. They just filibustered for 21 hours, and when it was over with, they didn't have any problems with the stuff that they were filibustering. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was just for the fact that they were trying to...
What are you talking about? They didn't have a problem with it. They definitely have a problem with it. That's why we're in the boat that we're in right now. If you're talking about the vote afterwards was going into the discussion. I believe the vote afterwards that Ted Cruz voted yes on was tabling the whole idea of, you know, this spending bill. And
yes,
everybody wanted to talk about it. Of course, Ted Cruz wanted to talk about it, or else he wouldn't have been up there for 21 hours.
Right, but that's the problem. That once, why not continue the filibuster? Why not, or the technical filibuster?
Because it wasn't a filibuster. There was a timeline. He just wanted to bring attention. It was like, when Eric Bischoff was running WCW,
I know.
And you know, and he's like, I'm going to make a big boom over here, and people are going to turn and look and be like, ooh, I kind of like that. And people have. There have been Democrats and liberals that have even come out and say, you know what, it's kind of crappy, but I kind of respect the guy as well.
Right, no.
He's standing up for his, you know, for his morals.
Listen,
and his ideas.
There is not a single person in the House or the Senate that will literally ever turn to someone who filibusters something in an emotional way, the way that he did, and go, I don't respect him for filibustering or him attempting to do what he did. Like, they all are in the exact same boat when it comes to that. Regardless, we're talking about a specific situation. Now, These Republicans, ladies and gentlemen, have been nothing but D-bags when it comes to this. Let me take you guys on a little history tour, because a lot of you out there, you learn from Google what your life is about, okay?
Yeah.
You learn from Google about what you like and you don't like, and you don't really ever research. We've got a guy named Travis Cook who comes on the show every once in a while. I love Travis, you know what I'm saying? Which, by the way, I am now working with Dynamo Pro Wrestling as the executive director of operations, and guess what? Travis is underneath me. So I am using every opportunity that I possibly can to watch and watch him like a hawk. I'm just watching him like a hawk, making sure that this man is not making any mistakes whatsoever. Because the minute he steps out of line, I'm pow.
Boom.
I'm going to smack that boy right across the face. Let me tell you something, man. This is giving me my chance to smack him. Now, listen. A few years ago, Barack Obama became president of the United States for the first time. And they told him within hours after his inauguration, we don't like you. We are not going to support the things that you're for.
Right.
And we're going to do everything in our power to stop you. And so he knew that he had the Democratic run House and Senate. So he had full majority across the board. So he had 2 years. And even during that 2 years, they were pushing and they were pushing and they were smacking him around a little bit on the backside, but they really couldn't do much. Then 2010 came around. 2010, you got all the Tea Party people and a lot of the hardcore right-end conservatives that got elected in. And then when they got there, they re-instigated the situation and said, we definitely do not like you. And we are going to go out of our way to repeal Obamacare. And we're going to do everything in our power to be a roadblock for you. So, cut quick change to the first time the debt ceiling and the budget had to come in. 2011. And in 2011, the situation was brought to the table. Now, for five, six, seven decades in a row, it was a simple thing. There's general inflation of about 1% or less than 1%, somewhere around there. And basically what happens is they take the bill from the year before or a couple of years before. They put it on the table. It has literally a 1% bridge gap, which basically means the credit card just has a little bit more to use.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's general inflation across the board of everything. Everything just naturally goes up in price year by year.
Right.
That's just how life is. So they put the 1% extra up on the top. Here you go. Everybody sign it. They go into a room. 15 minutes later, they all come out. They sign it. High fives all around. And they move on with their lives until the next time they have to okay the extra bump in the budget. Well, the first time it comes around after the 2010 election, the conservatives go six times in a row, we refuse to sign this, ladies and gentlemen. We are not going to sign this. And they're like, it's the same thing we've done for seven decades, 70 years.
Right.
Multiple presidents, people you like and people you hate. Like, just this is a very like run of the mill, just switch. We don't like you. We're trying to be a thorn in your side. So after the sixth time, on the seventh one, they changed nothing about the bill. He put it on the table, but because the deadline was like an hour or two away, he signed off. John Boehner signed off on it. It was like, we put that in front of you guys a week and a half ago and you refused to sign off on it. Now, here we are an hour before we're supposed to shut down. You sign off on it. It's cool. Okay, that's just a way to get somebody's GERD. But okay, cool. He's in his first
term. It makes a statement.
Yeah, it makes a statement. So, but he's in his first term. Matt, if I walk up to you in a parking lot tonight, I smack you across the face. I don't say anything rude to you. I mean, most people would take the smack across the face as a pretty rude thing, would you not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you agree that's a pretty rude thing?
Yeah.
Okay. If I smack you in the face, you're probably not going to like it. And you're probably going to remember that. Like, you're
did
not
I deserve
just
it?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I think it totally matters.
Like, Of course it matters.
I think
it totally
matters
to him, but I'm not going to tell him why I smacked him. I'm just going to smack him and walk away.
Yeah.
He's going to remember that. He's going to think through his head, do I deserve that? Why did he do that? How do I retaliate to that? That is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're not going to like it. And that's what happened. They smacked him across his face and they walked away. So basically, they go for the situation where we have an election. Okay. And they think, we've got this guy dead to rights. And he wins. He wins the election, ladies and gentlemen. He becomes president of the United States for the second time, because they thought they had him dead to rights. Everyone hates the black president. Everybody doesn't like this guy. Jobs are just as bad, blah, blah, blah. Like, they have a thousand different reasons why they don't like him. But then they realize something really quickly. He's got nothing to lose now. You only get two terms as president. There's no third.
Right.
So that's it. Nothing to lose.
I believe that there have been presidents that have gone into extended terms.
There have been two presidents in the history of presidents.
And how did they do it?
Since 1948.
Well, first off, in both cases, it was because there wasn't a law in the books that said you couldn't.
Since 1948, there's been a law since FDR had three terms that no president is allowed to have more than eight
consecutive
years in the office.
His third term was technically because of World War II.
Correct.
I thought that there was a
George Washington did 3 terms.
Okay. I don't have the books in front of me, but mm-hmm. I could have sworn that there was a president that went longer than his 8 terms due to the implement of war. And
that was outside, that's what I just said.
Outside of FDR.
No.
No, no, just FDR. FDR was, World War II happened, all the soldiers and everybody were overseas fighting, and there wasn't enough physical people that they felt justified in making the decision for a president. So as opposed to of running as president against somebody and having a vote where people couldn't be there to vote, because it's not like today where we communicate very easily with each other, yeah, and we can right. do all that, like send in
the absentee
vote
ballots the and stuff.
Like, they didn't have that. So basically they said, well, FDR is just going to continue to be president into what would yeah. be the next president's term until we can get everyone back from war and so that they can vote for a real for the next president. You
the
know
only
what
other
saying?
President they tried to make an exception of was Truman. But they did. They were not able to pass that.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking
so
of.
So if like know. If Clinton, for instance, were to run as a vice president candidate, he would not be. If something happened to the president and the president were killed, you know, normally the vice president would take over. In Clinton's situation, if he were to become vice president, he can't. It would automatically skip to the Speaker of the House.
Yes. So that's how that works. So, you know, and plus, you know, honestly, he has really no reason to become vice president. I've already been president. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, I get it. My wife might choose
Would
me,
you
but
get
I don't
the
need
extra pay? Like, you know, I'm fairly certain that, you know, an ex-president gets a certain amount of money for the rest of his life.
$250,000 every year.
I thought it was like 400.
That's while you're president.
While you're president, $400,000. Okay. Right.
So then after you're done, it's $250,000 a year. Now, what is it for a vice president? And if Bill Clinton becomes vice president and then leaves office, does he get the $250,000 plus the vice president's money?
See, and that's the thing.
I don't see any reason why he couldn't.
I don't see any reason why he couldn't, but most people
or
are
why
just
he
not
wouldn't
like
be
that.
Able to get that.
They're not
money.
Like that, though. They're just not like that. Like, that just wouldn't happen.
And Clinton is the last president that gets Secret Service for the lifetime. As well,
like, see, nice. With, and I think that there's a rule that basically states, like, if Al Gore had
they must have been running out of agents.
If Al Gore had become president in 2000 against Bush,
right?
He had just gotten done being vice president. There's the stipends for each of them after they leave office. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Right.
Had he become president, it would have washed that stipend off. He would have only gotten the $400,000 a year to be president.
Yeah.
And then once he was done with that, he would only get his presidential stipend, and that's it. There would
but
never be a.
But don't think that the president only makes $400,000.
But you're a conservative, so it's
no.
for you to spin it and make yourself think they're just double dipping every time they turn around.
I didn't say that. That's what I thought. That's why I posed it as a
all right.
question.
Now let me get back to my thing before we have to hit this break.
Go ahead.
Okay. So basically, he gets reelected as president, and they're pissed. Then they start discussing the fact that they're going to need to talk about the budget later on this year. That's back in March. And he comes to him and he says, guys, now, mind you, this is March of 2013. How many months ago was that before October?
Too many.
Many months ago. He comes to them and he says,
many moons ago.
He says, Barack Obama says to him, listen, guys, we have the budget due at the end of the year around October. I need you guys to start sitting down and working on this. And they say, we refuse to. We hate Obamacare and we don't like you.
Yeah,
he's like, guys,
I don't think they said we don't like you. I think
it's all about
Obamacare and
bro, behind those closed doors with their whiskey and their cigars. They
see, I'm not behind
other.
Those closed doors. I'm glad you are. I did not know that you got frequent flyer miles to go to DC.
You are a human
constantly.
Being just like me. And guess what? You know that it's a dirty dog game out there. You'll be the first one to admit everybody in the government has a tendency to be corrupt. Would you not agree?
Yeah, including
you've
the president.
Never been in the cut. Well, you've never been in the Congress. You've never been in the White House. You've never been a part of any of that. But you just made that statement.
But
and
there there
because
are,
you're human.
There are no. Well, there are whistleblowers, and there are people who report on, you know, facts that prove that to be true.
Okay. Now, okay. So basically, they explained to him again, and now Barack realizes, oh yeah, I forgot. First term, you guys went out of your way to be the D's that you were, and then on top of it, you did your little 6 things, and on the 7th, you signed it and all that, and you smacked me across the face when I didn't deserve it, all this. So he said, listen, I'm going to put in an extension. Right now, this is supposed to be up in July, but I'm going to put in an extension until October. Now, either you guys start working on this, and we can get this budget done before July, or else I'm going to sequester. And they said, no, you can't do that. You can't sequester. We're the Republicans. We're the ones who fought for sequester. We're the ones who got it put on the books. That's our law to use against you. And he said, because it's on the books, it's a law that all of us can use. So if I want to use it against you, I can. and they couldn't stand it. Now they've been smacked twice. They lost the election, and he's using their own game against them. Oh, this is ridiculous. So now, here we go. 2 weeks ago when they started sitting down to discuss the budget talk situation. Now, they've been working on it slowly throughout the months.
Right.
Up to, but 2 weeks ago, they start to work on the voting aspect of it and get the budget down. And they decide, we don't like Obamacare. It's coming. It's right around the corner. October 1st, it has some of these implementations that are going to happen. And on January 1st, 2014, it is lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. So we're going to do everything in our power to not let you get Obamacare. But the problem is that it's already gone. It's already been voted on. It's already been put into law. It's actually already been repealed for a short amount of time, put up to the Supreme Court, so the Supreme Court can make the decision
right.
on whether it's legally a law that is justifiable and can be used on the books the way it is and sits. And they, even they came back and said, yes, this is a legal law document, this, that, and the other. It has been voted on. Everything has gone through the proper channels. You guys, you lost. You just lost. You just got to deal with it. You know but what I'm saying?
Does yeah. that make it a good law?
Doesn't matter whether it makes it a good law or not.
I think it does. There's comes lots to, of bad laws out there.
Their attempt to repeal has never been that they don't think it's a good law. Their attempt to repeal is they thought that everything had been done in a shady manner without proper justification. And then on top of it.
I have never heard that.
Oh, are you kidding me? That's why they've gone out of their way to always talk about Nancy Pelosi and how in the middle of the night they decided to pass this law without anyone reading it against their will and
the
all this other stuff. All the 2 a.m. phone calls.
But that's not what it's all about. That might be a part of it. I mean, that's, you
well,
know,
that was the
you always call conservatives people that view things in only black and white. There's no gray. You're either 100% or you're 0% and you don't care. I would have to say that you're doing the exact same thing. You're choosing to focus on only one aspect, that they say that it's shady, which is not something that I hear a lot about. What I hear a lot about is how it's not going to be good for the community. It's not going to be good for the people who actually participate in it. It's not going to be good for companies. It's not going to be good for the economy.
I agree.
It's not going to be good for taxes.
This is good. Hold on. Now, we're going to go to a break here, but I want you to keep that going, okay? When we come back from break, you obviously have heard these things, right? Obviously, you just rattled off a bunch of things of what they're...
Those are things that I have heard, yes.
Okay. And have you done any research yourself?
A little bit.
A little bit of research. Okay.
I am so not educated. I am about as averagely...
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and I want to hear your problems that you feel why you don't like Obamacare yourself.
Harumph.
Okay? Is that all right? Ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. It's bottom of the hour. CBS News, Fox News, and all that good stuff. I want you guys to go to theqnow.com. There's an Amazon banner link right at the bottom of the screen.
Yes.
I want you to click that banner link. Matt is a huge Doctor Who fan. Little Bobby is now sucked into the Doctor Who universe. We're going to be talking about TV shows here in a little bit because Breaking Bad's gone. We're going to be trying to hip you guys to some other shows you need to check out.
You can pick up Breaking Bad.
You guys can pick up Breaking Bad DVDs as well as Doctor Who DVDs.
Dexter's done.
Dexter's done too. We'll talk a little bit about that crap ending. And then, so basically, go there. Buy your stuff there. It's the same great price as you get at Amazon.com's regular link. It just kicks a little bit back towards the show, and we get to be on the air to continue to provide you free, awesome entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more with me, Matt, and producer Bobby. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Queue with Mark Bland and producer Bobby. Check us out online at theqnow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland. You are listening to us rocking you from the Gateway to the West, St. Louis, Missouri, on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI. Producer Bobby, Matt Kruger, joining us today to discuss a little bit about the government shutdown and all that good stuff that's going on right now. We were talking about Obamacare, and before the break, Matt decided to kind of explain to us that he's got problems with the Obamacare situation. He listed off a bunch of things. We asked him if he did any research. He said he'd done a little. So, Matt, I'd like to hear your opinion of Obamacare and why you think it's bad. Or if you have actual information, present the information that you know for a fact is the reason it is bad and we need to pay attention to this.
I don't know anything for a fact. I don't believe I'm any more educated than any other average American.
So you want to present an opinion then of why you don't like Barack Obama's Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act?
It has really nothing to do with Barack Obama. I just
Okay, go ahead.
If anybody had introduced this particular thing, I still think that it would be bad. It has nothing to do with Barack Obama.
Well, let's hear your ideas, and I'll see if I can educate you and help you understand what's going on.
Okay, Mark.
Because I've done a ton of research on this because of the show.
Can you explain why there is a list of over 200 and growing companies that have been affected by Obamacare due to the fact that they are cutting full-time employees and sometimes part-time employees, anybody over 30. So let's just say somebody's working 34 hours. They're not technically full-time.
Right, but the new rule says now, 30 hours or more.
But now they get cut down to 27,
right.
28. Now they got a little bit of buffer because in a retail environment, you know, grocery stores, mm-hmm. factories, you know, sometimes you go over. So you got a nice little buffer. You have people who work full-time hours that their companies just don't feel that they want to sign everybody up. It's going to hurt their business. And so they cut those people's hours. Now, those people that are getting cut, they're in the whole economic branch of people that make right around $15 per hour and less, all the way down to minimum wage. So tell me, in that particular scenario, how Obamacare is good for the average Joe.
Okay, I can explain all of these things for you. First off, the new Obamacare and Affordable Care Act stipulates that any company that has employees at 30 hours or more per week has to allow them and offer up health care to them. It's no longer 40 hours or more. It's now 30 hours or more. So if you have a company that's doing 34 for a guy, they drop him to 27, it's because they're trying to break down below the 30 where they have to offer it up. Because a company, whether it's privatized United Healthcare, we'll just use United Healthcare as the example of the privatized side, the current right. system, or it's Obamacare, which is the government handling your business. In either case, the company still has to pay the bill at the end of the month for any employees that they have. Now, you make a great, you actually ask a really great question. This is going to help a lot of people get educated because I have learned a lot about this, okay? Why these companies are scared makes no sense whatsoever. Literally, it makes zero sense, and I'll tell you why. Because Obamacare is not universal healthcare. It's not, hey, as soon as this goes into effect, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United Healthcare, Group Health Plan, all these companies that are your insurance providers currently, all go away and you have to be under the government's guise.
It's not how the Canadian system
right.
is.
Right, it's not universal healthcare. It's literally a two-part process. It's a set of guidelines to put the kibosh on some of the erratic spending that healthcare providers currently on the privatized market do,
right.
which ends up costing people a lot of money out of their pockets that they don't need.
Okay.
And it's, we're now going to go into business as competition for privatized health insurance companies because currently they don't fight with each other. You see, whether I'm with United Healthcare or I'm with GHP, either way, my cost for medicine is the same because they have to go to the same supplier to get the cost for the
right,
medicine.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if I switch from this guy to that guy, I pay the same cross. There's no competition. No one is trying to give you a better rate. It's kind of like gas prices now. It yeah. used to be they fought with each other to have the lowest price. Now it's you can't make a dime more than me. I'm going to raise my rates to be equal to you because you can't be making more than me.
Right.
And that's where we're at currently, Matt. Now, so that's why it's kind of weird that these guys are angry because literally once Obamacare goes into effect, regardless of this 30 hours or more or 40, let's say they left it at 40 hours, okay?
Yeah.
And somebody decided to go with Obamacare. Well, the only thing that happens at that point is that maybe they got three employees that decided to go with Obamacare and the other 7 or 10 employees stay on United Healthcare.
Uh-huh.
They just pay whatever they would have paid to United Healthcare anyway. They just turn around and the money that they would have paid to United Healthcare for these other three, they now pay that money to the United States government.
But I kind of understand what you're saying. So the government is going to be our insurance company, but isn't that kind of what Medicaid and Medicare already is?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, and that's where
so
where
it's just basically opening it up to more people being having the ability to get onto those.
And
two.
That's where the scare tactic comes in. And this is to answer Matt's question because this is what he really wanted to get at. He's like, why are these companies not wanting to do it? It's because of smoke and mirrors and scare tactics. They're trying to scare all of these companies into believing that what's going to happen is it's universal healthcare and they're going to come in and they're going to get taxed and this, that, and the other. And it's like, no, Actually, we just go into competition against those companies. But United Healthcare doesn't want to go into competition with the United States government because it took United Healthcare 50 plus years to start as a small company and build a small base and build a larger base till eventually they got to where they're at now, right, and they've had their dealings and their workings and stuff. The United States government is kind of like Walmart size. They walk in with a complete infrastructure from Medicaid and Medicare, yeah, ready to go. They know that they're not in it to make profit. See, the government's not in it to make profit. That's why they set up this other set of rules that go along with Obamacare to put rules over the top of privatized companies. They're not in it to make money. So if I'm not worried about my board of investors,
right,
and my IPO, I don't have to charge extra because I don't have to show profit at the end of the year on it. I just have to wash even and not cost myself more than it cost me. That's it. So I, you, your family, Matt has a family, right?
Right.
And Matt pays $400 a month under United Healthcare.
Okay.
I come in with Obamacare and I go, Matt, it's only going to cost you $250 with me. Same doctors, same everything that you got currently. Everything is the exact same.
I disagree with that.
Why would you disagree with that? That's exactly what,
because
it is.
Because they have a list of doctors that you have to choose from in a new program called the Marketplace. If you choose to go to Obamacare, you do not get to keep your doctor. If you wish to keep your doctor, I believe that you have to keep your existing health care, which if you have your existing health care, you might as well keep it because rates are going up. And if you really like your doctor and it's going to be the same price anyway, right?
Well, there's only one problem with what you just said. That's not what the marketplace does at all. So therefore, I can see why you would have that belief and use that to feed your disregard for Obamacare because you don't know what the healthcare marketplace literally is for. The healthcare marketplace...
I know it doesn't work.
You don't know it doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, I do know because the whole website is non-functioning.
Yeah, so is GTA 5's immediate online website. Yeah, it hasn't worked
but
either.
GTA 5 has no impact on people's lives and
yes, we have
it
these,
does.
These, we have these things in this world called computers, and they have servers, and sometimes servers get overloaded.
Right.
Too many
how
people.
How about, we're going down this road, how about the leak of 2,000 people's information, social security numbers, names, addresses?
Oh, I've not heard this.
The
this
2,000,
is, this is new.
The list, it was a glitch in the Obamacare, because
okay,
I don't know what else to call it,
right,
system.
Yes.
That it somehow got sent to a particular person in, I believe it might have been Nevada.
Okay.
And luckily enough, they were an honest
person. Okay.
But that could be anybody.
Okay.
It could have reached
there's going
anybody.
To be...
Why would I want to sign up for a program that is going to release all of my information out?
Matt, there was a day that you were in a professional wrestling ring with me. I remember this. And you were drug over the top rope by a large black man by the name of Donovan Ruddick, right?
Correct.
And Donovan Ruddick grabbed Matt, and he tossed him towards the rope. There's video of this. He tossed him towards the rope. And Matt hits the ground, slides almost like baseball style to a stop, and doesn't even go... Like, the point was to go out of the ring. Like, he's supposed to go out and under the ring. So then Donovan has to run back over, pick Matt back up, take him the other direction towards the stage behind the wrestling ring, and throw him that direction out of the ring.
A little piece about that is when he went to go throw me out the one side, halfway through his throw, we're like, he said, no, we're going out the other side.
Okay.
So, like, I'm getting ready to do my dive, and he's like, nope, turn around.
Now, that was a situation that was set up for a specific time in history. When the time in history came, all of a sudden, there was a glitch. There was a change. Something happened. But at no point in the match did I or Donovan Ruddick or any of the people that were in attendance to the match stop the entire match and go, this is horrible. It's obvious. We need to shut this show down immediately.
Right. That's because you don't have 2,000 people that are potentially identity theft victims.
Okay. Things are going to happen, Matt. The world's not perfect. I know in your world, world's perfect.
Oh, world
nothing,
is not perfect.
Nothing
I
ever
am not
goes
a perfect part
okay,
of
so
it.
Okay, so if you understand that the world is not perfect, I would think that a glitch of only 2,000 people out of 300 million plus isn't that big of a problem. It is a problem, but it's not a huge problem. And the person was honest, so I think that they could fix that little issue and we can move forward. I don't think that that's the reason why you should hang your hat on not doing
that,
something.
No, that once again, I believe you're choosing to see things in black and white and only one side
Do
of
you
the,
think
of the
that
coin.
I'm-
I said earlier that you are focusing on the one aspect. And once again, you're focusing on the one aspect, saying that that is the one thing. I shouldn't hang my entire hat on that one piece.
You did use it as your example of why you don't.
Yes, but also before the break, I believe I rattled off about five different things.
And we were discussing those
and
things.
And then... I believe when we came back, we were supposed to go through them,
okay.
which we're doing.
Let me finish off that other the first piece.
But don't just try to associate one thing as that's why.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But I don't think that you should hang your head on that one. I think that you have other ones that you rattled off earlier that are better. That are better. You have good ones that you can hang your head on.
I have a horrible memory. I can't even remember all of them.
Okay, so anyway, the whole point of this situation is basically the government becomes a massive carrier. They're just in competition with you. And here's the problem. Let's say you're United Healthcare, right? And this is why United Healthcare is whipping everybody into frenzy, all these business owners and all this, and making them think that Obamacare is bad. Check it out. You're United Healthcare, right? And you got 5 million, let's just use a general number, 5 million people that pay dues monthly,
right,
or bills to your company to have United Healthcare be your health insurance provider. So all of a sudden, here comes this guy out of nowhere. He offers up everything the exact same. And by the way, privatized companies, that's where we stopped. Privatized companies also currently have PPOs and other things, and HMOs and things like that within privatized insurance, where you had a doctor that was covered under the HMO over here, but things changed. Now they're under the PPO, so you can no longer go to your doctor anymore. And that's the current system. That's no Obamacare. That's as far back as Clinton and Reagan and John F. Kennedy. Like, that's already existed under privatized insurance for years. So the idea that you have a doctor and then you won't be able to use it, that already happens all the time in privatized insurance.
Right.
So to use that as an example, or hang your hat, as I said, that might not be a good idea to hang your hat there either. Because
I've had the same doctor my entire life.
Right. And you'll probably have the same exact doctor under the thing. The health insurance marketplace is a place for people to go to put in their information.
And be told that they can't even use the website.
And, well, at this point, just because they were having some
service. This system works so well.
Once again, extremes. We have to give it a little bit
extremes
of time.
Extremes? How about you have the system up and running a couple of days at least before you say, hey, everyone, come sign up.
Matt, I have no problem agreeing with you on that. Come back to me in a year. And if the problems are still persistent 6 months or a year from now, I will 100% have your back.
Then what's wrong with the delay if the program, the software, isn't even capable of processing everything? Why not just set it off a little bit longer?
Actually, they've taken a...
And that is something that the Republicans tried to pass through so that they could restart the government. They're like, hey,
you know what?
We don't want to shut it down. I'll tell you what, we'll make a little compromise. How about we just delay it a little bit? And what happened? The Democrats said, no, we're going to shut the government down. I hear everyone wanting to blame Republicans, but it takes both of them. The Republicans, I believe, the day the government officially shut down, they tried to introduce three different options to get the government restarted. Right. I can't recall what they were, and they were all shut down.
What was the kicker to all those options?
They all
there was one kicker. One kicker to all three options. You're right, but there's one kicker to all three options. What was the kicker?
Obamacare.
They wanted a change in Obamacare.
They didn't want Obamacare associated with it at all. They wanted it off the books.
Ultimately, yes.
They wanted
But they
no
also
funding.
Rescinded some of their
You do understand why
requests.
They're doing this, right? You understand why this is attached to the budget, right? Because
they believe in a smaller government.
Because
they
the
believe in less Go ahead.
I know. No, I'm going to explain the actual reason. The actual reason, and not because of all that whoop-de-whoop-de rattle your saber crap you just shot off.
I don't have a saber.
Because literally, for Obamacare, the budget is for the next year, the next fiscal year of the government.
Correct.
Within the next fiscal year of the government, what goes into effect?
Obamacare,
which means they have sections of the government and offices that need to run Obamacare. Therefore, they have to budget in the new budget for the next fiscal year the offices for Obamacare to run properly.
Correct.
That's why it's associated. Their thing is, we don't want Obamacare in there at all because we don't want Obamacare funded. So if Obamacare's offices are not funded, they can't run properly. Therefore, they have to stop the process of Obamacare. Now, you come to me with three options, but all three options have in it the exact one thing I told you I am not going to agree with you on. Now, let's say you came with two options that had the defund Obamacare thing and one option that still funded Obamacare, but had other stipulations and stuff like
right.
that. there's a 100% chance they would have grabbed onto the one that still funded Obamacare and talked with them and worked out a situation and got that budget passed. But the Democrats told them, do not be stubborn about this. And they were. They approached them with three that had Obamacare involved, and they said, we're not going to play along. It was that simple. It's not just the Republicans, and it's not just the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Obamacare.
It's both of them. It's both of them.
Now, one thing...
No, but what's the one thing in common, honestly? It's Obamacare.
Right. One likes it and one doesn't. Okay, this
both,
shouldn't even...
Both parties want to blame the other one. Let's blame the actual thing.
Well, here's the reason why they're all trying to blame the Republicans right now.
And
the
sorry, Bobby. Yeah, I know you had something to say.
The reason they're trying to blame the Republicans right now is very simple. It's already a law in the books. It's already going into effect January 1st. It's supposed to be part of the fiscal budget.
It's already been
funded. This has already been put up and funded up with the Supreme Court. Everything has jumped through every hoop. You guys are just creating BS over here now, and that makes you look like a bunch of D-bags. So, if you're acting like D-bags, we're going to treat you like D-bags.
You say D-bags. I say stand-up individuals who are fighting for their principles.
Of course you do. And I respect that. They are fighting for their principles. They are standing up for it. But at a certain point, after 41 attempts to repeal it and it didn't work, now you've gone through all
41,
these...
41, is that the official number?
That is the official number. Now you've got all these things that they're doing, and you haven't passed any other legislation. You have passed no other legislation whatsoever as Congress. You can't even go back to your voters this year coming up to try to get reelected and say, other than we tried to repeal Obamacare 41 times. Well, did you guys work on any school bills or anything like that, or like construction or anything like that? Nope. We tried to repeal Obamacare 41 times. Oh, did you guys work on like some cancer researching or funding for grants for medicine and something? Nope. We try to repeal Obamacare 41. Like, that's all they can say. Like, they have nothing else. And that is just kind of pathetic, because we hire you to do more than just that. We really do. And 41 times, Matt, if you tried to ask a girl out 41 different times, when would you have stopped?
Eventually, she'll say yes.
You really think so? Would you? But see, Matt's a hard-headed dude like that. Like, I understand that, you know, that's Matt's thing. He wants to, like,
it's the power of the power of odds.
In a way, though,
the power of the pee.
In a way, he kind of makes a point, though, with, you know, persistence. Eventually, one of the two points is going to get, one of the two places is going to give in. But the big thing I was going to talk about is, you guys are talking about the Obamacare situation and everything else that caused the federal government to shut down. What I'm kind of afraid for, that nobody's really talking about, is the Defense Department has partially shut down.
No, sort of. NSA. NSA has external factors.
Part of the Army has shut down.
Military is a part of mandatory. Medicaid, Medicare is part of mandatory. Air traffic controllers are part of mandatory. There's a lot of things that
Mission control of NASA is still up.
Yes.
However, the rest of it almost just stands still.
Now, that's kind of weird. Is open. It's true. It's true, because they have manned satellites for defense that are up
We have astronauts up in space right now.
Right, right. So they have to do that.
That is something essential.
Yeah, that's kind of essential to make sure human lives are looked at. I get that. Now,
however, the elevator button pushers and the people that serve food and drinks and open doors for all your congressmen.
Yes.
Unfortunately, those guys are out of work.
Yes, they are.
And it sucks. Because they hadn't even had those jobs in the first place.
That's a part of
what a gross overspending of taxpayer dollars.
Now, Matt, I'm assuming that
I understand getting a job.
Are you?
And
you've
I
had
understand
a job
that
in
they're
the past,
human beings and they deserve to work. However, I don't believe that senators can open their own damn doors and push their own buttons and grab a food.
Not Republican senators. They need people to do that for them.
It's all of them.
No, Republican ones.
It's all of them.
It's Republican ones. Good call. Way to bring that up. Thank you. So much.
I don't even know what just happened.
We're almost done with this entire half of the hour. We haven't even gotten to the next piece, because I've been trying to explain.
We still got other pieces of the things I rattled off before the last break.
Okay, quick question. Are you sticking around for another segment, or you got to get going?
I can do one more segment.
You think you can do one more segment? Yeah. Okay, because the next segment is going to be Bobby doing his news. We can crack wise, have a good time. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just put it out there.
I want to do at least one Dr. Love.
Okay, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just put this out there for you all as best I can in the next few minutes before we hit the top of the hour. It's very simple. Obamacare is not the bane of existence. It's not going to be a problem. If you save some money with Obamacare, you're going to still be able to use your own doctors and everything that you have now. Just go to healthcare.gov, sign up just like everybody else can. Matt can do it. If he chooses not to, that's his own choice. But or you can stay with whoever you got right now currently.
I can not sign up and go to jail.
We were discussing earlier about the whole idea of 5 million people that are paying dues to UnitedHealthcare. Well, right. what happens if 2 million people decide to defect from UnitedHealthcare and go to Obamacare because they are going to get the same exact care but for cheaper?
Right.
Well, UnitedHealthcare should probably drop their rates then.
Oh, you would think so, but no. They have a company that runs at the size of 5 million paying dues, but now they only have 3 million paying dues. So what they do is they tell everybody before that even has a chance to happen, oh my goodness, this Obamacare is horrible. You guys need to defund it. We cannot lose people, blah, blah. But they're not saying we can't lose people. What they're saying is it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. Why is it bad? Just don't worry about it.
We're going to lose
it's
money.
Bad. We're going to lose money and therefore have to raise people's rates
right.
to offset the 2 million that left us.
See, and I believe that's
or
a very
we're going to have to shut down companies.
And I believe that's a very short-term way to look at it. They should drop the price off. I don't know, offer better coverage, privatize a little bit,
oh,
and
so
try to build
compete?
Up.
Hmm? You feel that they should compete?
Absolutely. WCW, WWF,
oh.
man. They fought, they competed,
so
and
they
it was the best era of wrestling on TV ever.
So that right now, Matt just admitted to me that he likes one half of Obamacare because that's what
the
rules...
The competition, that's a whole half?
That's what the rules do. The rules state that they have to spend a certain amount. They
you didn't
have to,
say that.
They have to be in... I said that there was two sections to it. We talked about what Obamacare itself is when it comes to the government side of providing health care. Now there's the rules side with the privatized rules, and that tells them they have to spend 80% plus on all medical costs. They can't just wine and dine freaking senators and everybody like
right.
that and raise your rates. They have to do a bunch of things that forces these companies to compete finally. So now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Obamacare comes in. You can choose to go over there for $250 a month as opposed to paying $400, but guess what? Eventually, UnitedHealthcare, because of these new rules, is probably going to get down to $250. And then it's going to be one-on-one.
Do these
and
call center right takers back. Make more than a teacher?
I'm thinking they're just taking a break from pushing buttons in an elevator, Matt. That's what I'm gonna say.
Actually, I have a friend who works for UHC. She makes $17 an hour.
There you
that's,
go. United Healthcare, privatized company.
I think that's more than a teacher makes their first
it's
year.
More than...
It's way more than
yeah,
the teacher makes their
it's
first
like
year.
It's like almost $37,000 a year.
Something's wrong with that.
Nope. No, it's not. Privatized company. Get what you can while you can. Free market economy. Survival of the fittest. Deal with it. It's a Republican thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more with me, producer Bobby, and Matt Kruger. We'll see you guys right after this.
Now back to the queue with Mark Bland and producer Bobby.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home. All of my change I spent on you. Where have the times gone, baby? It's all wrong. Where are the plans we made for two? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Mark Bland, Matt Kruger, producer Bobby, chilling. We're talking Obamacare and all kinds of fun things. If you've noticed that we've got a few liners coming back and some new things that we're trying here with the show that I'm really excited about. We're trying to make some moves with the show into different
moves.
Directions. You are definitely moving a lot over there. We're going to take a quick break on the Obamacare talk and the shutdown talk, and we're going to go into the new stuff with producer Bobby. Producer Bobby, it's news time, baby.
This is the Bobby News Network. Ladies and gentlemen, this is BNN.
All right, BNN is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. And Bobby, what do you got for us on tap today, sir?
All right, so a motorcyclist was charged this past week with reckless driving after prosecutors said he touched off a tense encounter with a driver of an SUV. In New York, Christopher Cruz, 28, declined to comment because he physically removed his helmet, bashed in the window of a driver's SUV, and then proceeded to try and punch the driver through the window.
Now, have you seen this video at all?
While they're driving?
Oh, yeah. Dude, this is a pretty serious video situation.
Part of it's while they're driving. Part of it...
Did he take the helmet off as he's driving?
No. He took the helmet off.
Because that's like some Fast and Furious stuff right there.
He took the helmet off while they were stuck at a traffic light in New York City. And basically what it was is the driver apparently like just barely touched the back tire of another motorcyclist. And it caused a big scuffle and everything, and the driver of the SUV had his wife and his two-year-old in the car with him, didn't feel safe, tried to drive off, and apparently ran over or something.
Yes, I've seen the video. It's pretty graphic video. If you guys get a chance, you can check it out at youtube.com and look for, like, you know, biker, you know, car. It was, first off, two things. He bashes in the window with his helmet, Matt, of a Range Rover. It's a Range Rover. It's not just an SUV. It's like a $100,000 SUV,
right?
Okay? So we're talking about a $5,000 window, pretty much, is what we're looking at, okay? Which is ridiculous, okay? Also, what happens is you see on the video, it start from before the interaction with the Range Rover. They are driving like 50 or 60 deep, doing the typical biker thing on the highway.
Well, okay. It's an event that they just started last year.
Kind of like the Ride of the Century thing.
Correct. But it's an event where all these bikers try to go into go into Times Square at one time and just basically take over Times Square.
Okay, so they're driving along the outer road of whatever, along the river or whatever. They're going towards New York City. You see on the video, it starts from them coming up towards the Range Rover. So they are 60 deep swarming, and they swarm around this Range Rover. So as opposed to continuing to go forward, one of the bikers, this gentleman that we're talking about here, right, decides that he's going to pull directly in front of the Range Rover and brake check him. His exact statement was that I brake checked him. Okay, if you go out of your way to come from behind
that's
somebody...
That's way too dangerous on two wheels against four wheels,
but
man.
Yeah, but that's the point. Bro, if you come out of your way to go from behind somebody... well behind them.
Yeah.
To go around them and get in front of them, then on purposely brake check them and they bump into you, like, you're setting up the problem yourself. This isn't some situation
where,
like...
He's lucky he didn't die by getting knocked off his bike and having his brain split open.
Well, that's my point. Like, if you guys were driving along and then you came past this Range Rover and he swerved at you guys, that's him instigating you. You going in front of him and brake checking him, that's you instigating him. So you're starting the problem. I mean, he's got his wife and his two-year-old in the car. So anyway, he stops and they all stop around him. And they decide to come up and start banging on his window to be like, yo, man, what you doing? Well, they instigated the problem. So he fears for his life. He drives away, and as he drives away, he runs up over the top of two people in their motorcycles, puts one of the people in the hospital, and that person might be a paraplegic now,
yes,
from the waist down. Okay, so then they start chasing after him because they just watched him run over two of their friends. So they start chasing him. When they get to another spot, they swarm around him, and that's when they do the whole bashing in the window and trying to get him out. And then he gets away again. And then they catch him again on like 178th Street or something like that in New York City because it comes to a dead stop standstill because there's traffic in New York City.
This whole situation lasted for 2.5 miles.
Yeah, it's
so
ridiculous.
So the driver of this Range Rover is freaked out. First off, if I've got my wife and daughters in the car and a pack of 60 guys, I have nothing
and you
but
know
a
how,
vehicle.
We know what we're dealing with here, guys. We got Metal Militia stickers, Monster Energy drinks, and we got a bunch of young dudes between the ages of 20 and 30. That's
correct.
What we're dealing with. We're not dealing with like 50-year-old bikers who are, you know, former Hell's Angels who are, you know, who are just Vietnam vets now that are driving around the country and having a good time. Like, no, we're talking about young kids and young men that, you know, testosterone fueled, you know, nitro circus type stuff.
Right. The driver of the SUV was injured, did require stitches to his face. The wife and the daughter were not injured. But during the situation, police arrested 15 other.
Yeah. And they should have.
Motorcyclists.
And you know what? I don't blame him for trying to get away, Bobby.
Absolutely.
I don't, man. I'm sorry. If you try to brake check me and you get bumped, you're an idiot. And Matt, you made a great point. If you're stupid enough to try it on two wheels, Matt's scared to drive down the road on rain, much less put himself in front of a diesel or a truck or something and just brake check him.
I avoid cars.
That's my point.
I value my life and my legs, and I don't want road rash.
Evidently,
and I like my brains inside my head.
Evidently, they don't. So, but yeah, dude, I'm complete. Like, I have a lot of friends who ride motorcycles. I respect them. They're good people. But at the same point, there's this grouping of individuals also.
But there's that grouping of people.
There's, everywhere.
Dude, there's that grouping of people of golfers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You and Pete on their golf game, it's going to get crazy.
Yeah. You're right. You're 100% right. So what do you got?
All right. This past week, we lost a great, great man, Mr. Tom Clancy, who wrote the books The Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games.
He is the reason Jack Ryan exists.
Yeah. He passed away. There's been no official cause of death. 66 years of age.
Who's Jack Ryan?
Wasn't he the star of Patriot Games and all that? That's who Harrison Ford played.
Oh, he's the character. If he was at Harrison Ford, I'm like, yeah, okay.
The movie Clear and Present Danger, which is supposed to be released later this year, has Jack Ryan in it. Oh, it's supposed to be released in Christmas.
Is that a new version?
It's called Clear and Present Danger, or is it the Jack Ryan Chronicle story or whatever?
I guess it's the Jack Ryan Chronicle story.
Yeah, that's what I seen the poster for, is the Jack Ryan Chronicle thing. And it stars...
Hunt for Red October.
I can't remember who it stars. Here's the funny thing about Tom Clancy. Having a career like his is actually kind of cool and unique, because he had a ton of video games that were based... Like
Rainbow Splinter Six.
Cell, yeah, that were based off of his books and stuff. Yeah. So he's got fans that are not only the general people that are older that read his books, but he's also got young fans that learned who he was just from him being on the cover of their video game.
For a long time, I think it might have been the Army, used Rainbow Six as a video simulation of how to work as a group.
Yeah.
To go and, you know, take out, you know, and save hostages and take out, you know, terrorist cells.
You know,
and then it became, I think it became Call of Duty, but...
You know, what's really funny is that there's these writers who do these types of books like that.
Like, that's impressive.
They're very impressive in the fact that a lot of those writers start off with fiction-based books, coming up with the stuff off the top of their head, or they have a little bit of experience.
Right.
As they become more popular with the books, they start to build a network of actual, like, Black Ops and Special Ops people that are fans of theirs,
yeah,
who feed them legitimate information that they have to turn around and change aspects of it so that it fits within their book and they can use it, but it's not the exact thing that's going on in the actual government or around the world in these special areas and stuff like that. That's really cool. Like, at one point in my career, it's like, I came up with this idea for, like, a gun that just shoots, like, an electric ray. And now he's like, oh, yeah, we got a gun. It's called the, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. The people starring in his new movie is going to be Chris Pine, so Captain Kirk from Star Trek.
That's who's on the cover.
Keira Knightley and Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner?
Yep.
Loving it.
In the words of Christopher Griffin, how does he keep getting work?
I don't know if I would say that. I mean, he is Kevin Costner. Actually, he's done pretty good for himself over the last few years. He did have that, like...
He was great as Pa Kent.
Once he did the Postman, after the Postman...
Waterworld.
And literally up until...
He was Nicolas Cage for a little bit.
Up until about the movie Mr. Black or whatever it was, or Mr. Brown or whatever it was a couple of years ago.
Oh, Swing Vote.
Oh, no, the movie with Dane Cook.
Was it...
Yeah,
Mr. Brown, right? That's the one where he plays the, like, serial killer or whatever.
He was an agent or something like
that. No, he's the serial killer. Dane Cook catches him killing someone.
Right.
And then Dane Cook is like, oh, dude, I want to kill someone now. And
right. Yeah. Oh, I think that's Mr. Brown is what I think the name of the story.
I think so.
It's something like that. Anyway, up until that point, there was like a 15-year period there where he just turned in crap.
Yeah.
Like, it was just horrible crap. Like Nicolas Cage, but he stopped. And Nick didn't.
Nick just kept going.
Kevin Costner was in a really good show, the Hatfield and McCoys, just recently.
Yeah,
too.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, he was picking up great stuff that he could use, which is...
He was a great support. Like, he was a great supporting actor in the new Superman movie as Pa Kent.
Yeah. You know. All right, so every, you know, like, fraternity, I guess you could say, has their version of hazing. Like, professional wrestling, I'm sure, has stuff that they do. But... A former Oklahoma State University student has taken it a little far and is facing a maximum of 10 years in prison.
For what?
Because he decided to take and ask two pledges over the summer. Would you take a bullet for one of your brothers?
Okay.
And then turned around and pulled out a loaded revolver.
Okay.
Pointed it at them.
Yes.
And attempted to shoot them, but instead turned and shot a vehicle. And these students then turned him in. He used to be a former alumni of the Alpha Gamma Rho fraternity and is facing 10 years in prison for pulling out a loaded gun in a hazing situation.
I don't know
situation.
Where I stand on this. I don't know if
I don't think it's worth 10 years.
I don't know if it's worth 10 years.
It's definitely bad decision
making.
Look at
that guy. Yeah, you can tell.
He will not do well in prison. Oh, my God.
That's Tony Cabral. Tony Cabral, literally. No, I don't know where I stand on this because, like, I've been around fraternities multiple times in my life,
right.
So I understand the way the hazing game works, and I understand that you got to do something that's really going to be memorable for them, and that's a very memorable thing, and he didn't shoot them.
Did they get in? I think that's the
important
part.
That's a really
good
question. Did they get in, or did they turn him in, and then they just get booted out? Because then they
you don't turn in your brothers. You're not getting in.
Now, had he shot them in the leg or something, I would have totally been like, yeah, 10 years easily.
So exactly what happened was he took the weapon, pointed at both of their heads, and then actually pressed the gun against one of their necks. And then as he removed the gun, they said they saw a flash from the end of the gun and then saw a window explode from someone's vehicle. Now, he says, though...
Movie magic, I don't believe it.
Movie magic.
What he says, he thought the window was open, so he was just firing that way to kind of scare the guys, but it turned really, really bad.
Wow.
So...
So he's going to have fun. I saw that picture. He's going to have a lot of fun. My goodness.
Last quick thing. Halloween's coming up. Everybody knows about Halloween.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
Everybody at Wally World has kind of gone crazy. Over at Walmart, they decided...
This is the second Walmart story about a Halloween thing. Remember we did the one
about
the
third
dog?
One?
About the dog.
There was the dog. There was the naughty leopard. Toddler costume?
I did hear about the naughty leopard.
It's a toddler's outfit.
Okay, everybody's just getting way too butthurt about things now.
But
okay?
There was nothing naughty about it. It wasn't like a sexy costume. Yeah. It wasn't even a leopard costume. It had some purple ears and a little tutu.
But it was a toddler's outfit that was designed towards like the age of our daughters.
Okay.
And it was called the naughty leopard.
But well, there was nothing naughty about it. Okay, it's so like, you know how like when you have a...
The packaging choice was stupid.
You know how
naughty.
You have like back in the day, I guess during the 40s and 50s, if you were a naughty child, you were a misbehaving kid. But over time, it has been adultly themed. It's matured and become sexualized to say that somebody is naughty. And a lot of people decided that they wanted to get butthurt about it. And now, you know, Walmart has pulled it from their shelves just like they pulled the dog. And so now what's going on?
I'll tell you what's really crazy about this is if you ever see old footage or pictures of Halloween's from like the 1910s,
20s, 30s, those things are creepy.
Those are some creepy, creepy costumes. We are P-U blank blank blanks. Nowadays, we are just the wimpiest of the wimp, like Iron Man and stuff like that. Yeah, blink, blink, blinks. Yeah,
for sure.
I had to count that one out.
So Walmart decided that they thought it would be a great idea to release a new costume called the Osama Bin Laden.
Aha.
So Walmart had no problem with this, but the Sikh Coalition of the United States has a big problem with it, saying if you lost a loved one during the 9/11 attacks or during our nation's war against Al-Qaeda,
uh-huh,
you should be appalled for being okay with this.
Then you guys are going to absolutely hate Mark Bland and his brother Luke Bland, because let me tell you a little story real quickly. 9/11 happened in September of 2001.
Correct.
October 31st of 2001, Mark Bland was DJing at a local nightclub, and we had a Halloween costume contest. My brother, because it didn't exist, went out of his way to go get an Iranian-style shawl, a fake beard, put on the little thingamajigger around their, you know, like the headband.
Turban.
Like the turban, but the headband type thing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Paint his face white, put a bullet hole in the center of his head, put a noose around his neck, and he came as Osama bin Laden, who had been caught and killed. And he won first place, got $250 in gift certificates from the place that I worked at as the DJ. And that was literally a month after the destruction of 9/11.
Let me tell you something.
Those people had no problem with it in the United States.
Yeah.
I can see how that costume is a good idea, and I can see how somebody could take this costume and turn it into that very easily, and maybe that's Walmart's intention. However, if it's the intention to emulate, you know, an honest representation of Obama, I think that it's in bad taste.
You called him Obama.
Did I? Mm. Osama?
It's cool, Republican. Keep going.
Osama. But is it in bad taste? Yes. However, we do live in a free country. I believe it's Walmart's right that if they want to carry this costume, I believe that they should be able to. And if people want to complain about it, and eventually Walmart pulls it, that's okay too. But it's a free country. You can dress up how you want.
All right, so are we done with the news there, sir?
That's it for today.
All right, fair enough. I got a little quick thing on the side of this. It's not a news story. I do a Q of the Week every single week. If you go to thequeenow.com, you can be friends with me on Facebook and everywhere else. And I do a Q of the Week. And I do one every single day, every day of the week. And usually my Tuesday ones are my most serious ones. I do Tuesday to be the most serious ones where I really want to get people's opinion. And I really like people's opinions. I don't try to get on there and give my opinion too often unless I really find something that kind of like catches my ire or anything like that. Right. In most cases, I just put up the question. I let everybody else talk. I just want to hear what everybody else has to say. This week's cue of the day was, so yesterday a group of World War II veterans stormed a monument to go see it, even though the government and Parks Division were shut down. Do you think they were in the right or wrong for doing that? Is it a big deal? So let me read off some of the answers that I got, because I just want to give everybody some props for this. We had a few people like it. Greg Thornton, who's been on the show before, said, in the right, national parks were created for the people to enjoy. Government has no right to keep us out. Dan Walsh, a professional wrestler with Dynamo Pro, is going to be in the main event of the October 5th show, which is tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in Glen Carbon, Illinois. If you get a chance, go to DynamoPro.com and you can find out more about it.
Can't get thrown out of a ring again?
No. He says, I think World War II vets should do what they want. They are examples of when this country was great and not pathetic and spineless like it is now. And he was actually a member of the United States military who served over in Iraq. Chrissy Wild says, they were absolutely right. There is no excuse or reason good enough to keep our veterans out of their own memorial. That's just disgraceful and disrespectful. They are the reason that the people in our governing bodies even have a job. I hope the cops that remove them feel like the Gestapo pieces of S that they are. Tim Richborg says, what does it cost to let people just walk around on sidewalks and look at things? It's a good point. Dorian Cole says, it's one of those infractions you just ignore. And I totally agree with
Absolutely. All
of these people. I don't think, listen, you can shut the government down. Just tell the guy not to show up at the gates. But you can leave the gates open and let people walk around and just look at the monuments. It's not that big of a deal, okay, guys? It really is not that big of a deal to have a park and let people just walk through.
So technically, we're not allowed to go to the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial, nope. The St. Louis Arch.
Nope, Arch is shut down.
Wow.
All right.
That completely destroyed
it. Dr. Love, are you ready?
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
I love doing that little voice.
Here's the only one you get tonight, because you're going to get out of here, or you're not.
Oh, baby, I'm like lazy potato chips. Baby, just get one.
Well, if you're going to stick around for the next section, you're more than welcome to. But if you got to get out of here, like you said, then we're going to have to just do one.
Right.
My 8-year-old daughter absolutely hates my girl. By the way, this is the advice section, letters to the queue. And if you go to theqnow.com, click the contact page at the top, you can hit us up with any of your advice questions that you have. My 8-year-old daughter absolutely hates my girlfriend. It's been at least 2 years since my ex-wife and I split. I've been dating this woman for at least a year now, and 6 months ago moved in with each other. My daughter hates her and coming over to my place in general. I get her every weekend. When she goes to bed, she has to call mommy and talk. This usually ends up with my daughter crying and saying she misses her. My girlfriend doesn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Any ideas you can offer up to me? Dr. Love?
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does suck. I think what we were dealing with here is a young girl. That's the thing.
How old is the girl?
8 years old.
She's eight.
She's 8 years old. So
mom and dad got divorced 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
The new relationship is about a year old.
Right. But
and she's eight.
When you're six and your parents get divorced, you're still not understanding what's really going on.
Hey, man, they say children are very intuitive, and maybe this girl just
I think that's the problem. She's becoming intuitive to the actual realities of what her relationship is.
Right.
But, you know, maybe this girlfriend is not a nice person. Maybe there's something to it that this person writing in is not getting the full story.
But it's put not up a nanny just the cam. Girlfriend. It's not just the girlfriend. Remember, she's calling mommy to talk to mommy and then doesn't want to be there with daddy either. It's not just the girlfriend.
Okay.
She's having problems with living with them or being around them on the weekends.
I believe I heard that mom has, full custody, and she goes on
weekends to dad.
And on weekends. That's got to be tough, because 5 days out of the week, you're spending it, you know, with, you know,
right.
And so when your life changes like that, it's difficult, you know, and I went through that too. When my parents got divorced, I was 5 years old when my parents got divorced. My dad had me, every other weekend, and I think it was Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights or something like that. So we'd go to a movie and we'd see, you know, we'd go to Tilt Arcade at Mid Rivers Mall or wherever. And then weekends were always really awkward, you know, because my dad had moved on and he'd found a new lady, and yeah, I didn't like her too much either. And even she passed recently, but even up until she passed, I was never a huge fan of her.
Right, I understand.
And that stuck with me all the way up until, you know, my late 20s.
All right, so what would you tell this girl in this case?
The gentleman.
What would you tell the gentleman to how to handle this with his daughter?
The gentleman, I would say that when you guys are together, include both of them and treat both of the children, the girlfriend might be a child, I don't know. Treat the child and the girlfriend equally. Try not to give more attention to one than the other. It could be, you know, if he's spending more time with a girlfriend and the child feels like an afterthought, there could be some resentments, a little bit of jealousy. I would definitely say try to include them both, you know, as equally. Try to find them common interests. Try to get them to relate to one another.
Okay, fair enough. I would think that this is just growing pains, honestly.
I really do.
Like what you're saying, I think I agree with 100%. It's growing pains. Just try to include them both. Try to be as fatherly and have her be as motherly as she can for what it's worth to the girl. And as these growing pains slowly dissipate, things will get better.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Whatever you do, don't get upset.
There's always one. What happens is there's usually one situation or moment that happens within the relationship where the kid realizes that this person's on their side more than against them, and they go, okay, it's not as bad as I was making it.
I had one of those moments. You know what that moment was for me? What? I got punched in the mouth by my stepdad.
Nice.
And after that,
and you realize your dad wasn't so bad.
it was so weird. You know, I was just a hard-headed teenager, and he punched me in the mouth, and I totally deserved it. I went after him.
Right.
And he knocked me out, and after that, we became pretty good buddies.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the Q.
A Kit Kat?
We're going to do all that. We're going to take a quick break on the Q. Go check out theQ.com. Old episodes, new episodes, all the good stuff, a little bit about me, producer Bobby, Matt Kruger, everybody. Check it out, theQ.com. We'll be back right after this.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy.
You can get more of The Q with Mark Bland and producer Bobby at theqnow.com.
We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Mark Bland, producer Bobby, Matt Kruger has decided to jump. You can follow him on Twitter at Savage Vibration, no S.
He jumped the shark.
He jumped the shark. He took off. Royals by Lords right there, bringing us back here on the show. And we appreciate you guys tuning in every single week on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and worldwide on the internet, the Lycos.
At the interwebs.
On the interwebs.
That's how to Google.
I don't know how to giggle, but I know I sure knows how to get my AOL free minutes.
That's the best George Bush line ever. I don't know how to Google.
You don't know how to Googles. So what's going on, buddy?
Not much. John Stewart the other day had a pretty awesome synopsis of this whole government shutdown. I'll let you listen to a little bit of this real quick.
Let me hear this, bad boy.
For those just joining the story in progress, our government is going to shut down in 57 of your Earth minutes. Because House Republicans are refusing to fund the government unless the rest of Congress delays implementation of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, also known as the end of America as we know it, for reasons no one is able to clearly explain. But you know what? Let's let the House Republicans try.
This country was founded on the principles of limited government, personal responsibility, and consent of the governed. But Obamacare is based on limitless government.
We're leading on protecting hardworking Americans across this country that are feeling the overreach from the federal government.
I come to the floor, as many of us do, to speak about the intrusion into God-given American freedom called Obamacare. It is an unconstitutional takings of God-given American liberty.
But you're just throwing words.
He is, yeah.
Just throwing words.
Unconstitutional takings of God-given America. It sounds like a bullshitting of random patriotic buzzwordies. If it's unconstitutional, I didn't know it was unconstitutional, and I know how much you guys love the Constitution. Nobody loves the Constitution like you guys.
The Constitution is the foundation.
That great document, the Constitution.
The supreme law of the land.
The greatest governing document the world's ever known.
I carry a copy.
Just look at your Constitution, which I keep in my pocket. Somewhere deep inside my pocket. But I
can't
find
it.
Guarantee you it's in here.
Hold on. Wait, that's my weed. I got my weed. I got a couple of rubbers here. Son of a bitch, that's the monitor lizard I use in there to guard my copy of the Constitution.
I think I got some Band-Aids in there. Son of a bitch, he bit me again. But you know what? Perhaps we can look to the Constitution for a solution to this crisis. Let me get mine. Son of a bitch! All right, here we go. All right. So in 2009, Congress passed the Affordable Care Act. Were they allowed to do that? Congress may determine the time of... Isn't there a cartoon that explains if they can do that?
Yes, I'm only a bill, and if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be along.
You know what I just realized in that? That I was, oh boy, one of those bills, I think, had a harpoon in his chest. We should go back and look at that. One of those bills is like, I need a doctor.
So, yeah, there it is. John Stewart cracking wise on the Republicans and this whole shutdown situation. We've been talking about it pretty heavily on the show today. I find it just so amazing. Like, Matt sat here, and I love Matt. You know what I'm saying? But he sat here, and every little this is a typical Republican thing, you know? Every little piece of information that you can possibly use to justify your hatred for something, you just jump on it.
Right.
You might not necessarily have all the information that you need. He doesn't understand how the healthcare.gov where marketplace works technically.
Right.
Nobody knows how this is going to go down. I've done a ton of research. Now, I'm not saying I'm the preeminent, like, go-to source.
You're not the know-all.
I'm not the know-all when it comes to Obamacare, but I've done a lot of research, listening to the stuff the Republicans have said, listening to the stuff the Democrats have said, reading through documentation and finding out stuff. And literally, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with Obamacare. It's not an extra... it's not like you're going to have United Healthcare, and then all of a sudden you're going to get a tax once a month for $25, like your Netflix account is going to be a bill that says Obamacare. Now you have to pay $25 a month more than you ever wanted to before.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it's going to work. You'll just keep paying United Healthcare if you want
to
stay there.
Well, see, the funny thing to me is, well, you know, I don't really have a side. I'm not really a Democrat. I'm not a really a liberal. I'm not really a conservative. I'm kind of in that gray area. But the thing that's funny to me is, you know, all the Republicans are saying is it's the Democrats' fault. Well, I'm pretty sure...
all the Democrats are saying is it's the Republicans' fault.
But the Democrats do have a little bit of backing to it because it's a Republican majority.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure that means that in this country, a majority rules.
Right.
And so the...
if the majority are Republicans that are shutting it down...
absolutely.
That's their fault then.
Yes, it's their fault. But nobody... the Republicans don't see it that way. The Republicans just see it as we have a Democratic president, so it's the Democrats' fault, and it's just... it's narrow-minded.
It is very narrow-minded. But anyway, we just wanted to play a little bit of that for you guys here on the queue. If you get a chance, you can go watch the entire thing over at thedailyshow.com, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Or you can search it up on YouTube or Google.
And we'll post it on our website. And Jon Stewart might be joining us a little later this year.
Is he? Really? Are we working on that?
That's being worked on.
That would be... have you talked to the people yet?
I have. I'm just waiting for a word back.
That is awesome. That would be really great if we could get Jon Stewart just to call in and talk to us for a few minutes. I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, it's really funny. We've talked about Jon Stewart on the show before. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he admits it himself. He's a comedian. He does a show that's based in comedy. For you to take it like 100% serious and use it as your justifications for why you vote a certain way is pretty stupid. But to every great situation that he discusses on his show, he's got a team of people that do a ton of research.
Absolutely.
It's not just joke writers. He's got people, and John is a very smart individual. Like, I consider myself a smart individual. I consider Matt a smart individual. You a smart individual. DC that was on our show last week, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you have to go back and listen to episode 138 of The Q, because episode 138 had DC of the Stephen DC Morning Show talking about his career and all the stuff that went into it, as well as the overtime. A fantastic and one of our highest rated shows we've ever had download wise and listener wise. Really great show. We really appreciate having DC on. But my point is that there is a lot of truth to the things he says, and every great joke is based in truth originally.
Absolutely.
It's great. So, you know, you can listen to him. And you did listen to that clip. You heard, like, them saying these things.
Right.
And he's cracking jokes about it and making light of it, but yet That is how they justified themselves. Those are real clips of them on Capitol Hill saying those things. So when no one was around joking, there was no Jon Stewart writers writing stuff up to make fun of them. That's what they were saying and doing.
Yeah.
And that's how they're running your country.
And the best clip, I think, in that whole situation is, you know, when he's talking about the Constitution, the one guy who said, the one Gainey, I think it was, Republican Gainey, says, oh, the Constitution, which I have right here, as he's searching in both pockets,
right,
and can't find anything.
Just can't find it.
So,
all right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move forward with the show because we've been talking about this all episode long.
Absolutely.
Breaking Bad ended this past weekend, and it was, I'm a Breaking Bad fan. I kind of came on to the game late, a little late, but I caught up to the current episodes, and I watched the last 8 episodes over the last couple of months and enjoyed it immensely. And the season finale of Breaking Bad, which I won't ruin for anybody, but if you like good television shows, go watch Breaking Bad on Netflix.
I've never watched an episode, but I've kind of been filled in the information. I want to go back now that the series is over and watch it, but even not knowing all the details, awesome episode.
Yes,
absolutely.
It was an amazing episode and a really great way. I still don't think it's the best show on TV, which a lot of people who are fans of Breaking Bad say it is.
Yeah,
I think the acting was very well done. I think the people who have won Emmy awards for that show have deserved every Emmy they've gotten.
Yeah.
Also, and I think the ending was justifiably solid for a show that way. To end that way. I really think that it worked well, and that's why a lot of people were very happy with the Breaking Bad ending, which I wasn't as happy with the Dexter ending because I'm not a big Dexter fan. I don't watch it.
But Matt said he loved
Dexter. Matt is a huge Dexter fan. That and Game of Thrones are his two favorite shows.
Yeah.
And he by far thought that the Dexter ending was absolutely perfect and well done. So, with that being stated, I want to go a little further here and say that now that Breaking Bad is over, Bobby,
yeah,
I think it's time for us to maybe fill that void.
Absolutely.
I think the Q is really good about maybe getting you guys into things and talking about things that you might not necessarily know about. And I think that I gave a test to me and Bobby. We were going to each pick 3 shows.
Yeah.
Miniseries or regular television shows. Shows that are finished, that you can go back to Netflix or whatever and watch in full, or shows that you need to like start listening to or watching, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that you can follow along with them, to fill the void that Breaking Bad has now left you with.
Yes.
Because there is a huge void on Sunday nights.
So you're not Breaking
from
Bad.
From here on out, that you're you have to break bad now. You have to break bad and start watching some great TV. So let's talk about some shows. Bobby, let's start with you. If you're a Breaking Bad fan, you no longer have Breaking Bad, what would be the first show you would recommend to people to take a watch at?
A great show that I just started, and actually this show itself just started, is Blacklist.
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 Tell us a little bit about Blacklist.
So basically, the whole premise of Blacklist is there's a gentleman named Reddington. He is a part of the FBI's top 10 most wanted.
And this is the show with James Spader, right?
Correct. James Spader is in it. He is one of the FBI's most top 10 wanted. And he turns himself in, and he basically starts divulging all this information to only one FBI agent. He only wants to talk to Elizabeth Kane, is the character's name. And so basically he has this relationship now, and it's just started.
But it's got this whole government espionage kind of, hey, listen, I got information you need, so you better pay attention.
Yeah, you're going to play by my rules, and that's how you're going to get this information, and I only talk to this one
person.
So it's kind
of like Stone Cold taking it to Vince McMahon, you know?
Absolutely.
You got a person who's going to put the big dog in its place.
Absolutely.
And James Spader plays that character.
Yep.
That sounds like a really cool show.
It's a great show.
That's a really cool show. I'm going to have to start checking that out. I have not watched Blacklist yet.
It was,
but you said it just debuted. It's brand new. So
we just saw the second episode, but after it premiered, it was one of the top 10 most wanted to be watched new series on TV.
All right, fair enough. My first show that I'm going to throw at you guys out there, if you are a fan of Breaking Bad, I'm going to recommend to you a show by the name of Sons of Anarchy. Now, I've gone at length to discuss this on the show. Everyone knows I'm a huge Sons of Anarchy fan, but it's now in its 6th season, and it's doing really well. It's probably the best show on television, honestly. It's, in my opinion, better than Breaking Bad, but it's got everything that Breaking Bad had, but with multiple characters doing it all the time. Like, they followed mainly 2 main characters in Breaking Bad through the entire series. there was side characters that played. There's like five or six main characters in Sons of Anarchy, and they're all trying to stab each other's back. They're all involved with this motorcycle game called the Sons of Anarchy. They're out of Redwood, California. The Redwood Originals is what they call themselves. And the whole idea is the life of a biker gang, similar to the Hell's Angels on television every single week. And some of the stuff they get involved in with the cartels and some of the other biker gangs and some of the other gangs within the areas and how they're maneuvering these major deals and some of the stuff that they do to each other is just as good, if not better. And by the way, what was great about Breaking Bad was they always left you, in the last two seasons, they left you with a cliffhanger mid-season. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like some decent cliffhangers. Dude, Breaking Bad is a great show, but Sons of Anarchy just throws cliffhangers like second episode of the third season. You just throw a cliffhanger that's like season finale style, blow your mind type cliffhanger. And that's the second episode of that season. You know
and
what
this,
I'm saying?
And this is available on Netflix, but isn't this show also SOA, isn't it getting ready to finish?
It is. I don't know. I
thought I heard somewhere about it. It was
I am not under the
finish.
Impression that it's in its last season by any means. I have not heard that there's a series. This is the series. Like, they haven't said that it's the last season.
And for all you women who want to check out what the guy is going to look like that's going to be playing in your 50 Shades of Grey movie.
Yep.
Check out SOA.
Charlie Hunnam is the main character who plays Jax Teller in the show, and so you'll get to see what that man looks like. He looks like a mini version of Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, guy, Thor?
Yeah, Thor. He looks like a mini version of Thor is what he looks like to me. Okay. So, all right. So, okay, that's my number one pick.
Number two.
What's the number two for you,
Speaking
bro?
Of Thor is Marvel's Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's what you think people should jump on.
It's a great show. Again, a show that's only on its, we're getting ready to have its third episode, but it's a really, really incredible show. It follows Agent Coulson, Agent Phil Coulson. I don't know the guy's name that plays this character, but basically we find out that Coulson in the Avengers movie wasn't killed. It was just a thing by Nicholas Fury to kind of give the Avengers some oomph, and now this is kind of a space between the first Avengers movie and the second Avengers movie, and they will have cameos by Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, to kind of tie all this together. Last week, we just had Samuel L. Jackson kind of come in there. But basically, it's he's trying to create a team to assist the Avengers in their fighting to save the universe.
So it's got a lot of ties to the big movies that you see. So you can actually watch the big Iron Man movies and Thor movies and stuff like that, and then kind of find some of the side stories that go behind the scenes.
Yes.
That have led to these things and the people that are involved behind the scenes making them who they are.
Right. And it's pretty, it's really awesome. Agent Hill, who made her debut in the Avengers movie, is a character in this show now. And then Agent Coulson obviously is still there. So it's awesome.
Number two for me is going to be a show called House of Cards. It's a Netflix original. It's only available on Netflix.
Okay.
Starring Kevin Spacey. The show kind of follows along the midpoint career in the later part of a career of Kevin Spacey's character, which I cannot remember off the top of my head for the life of me at this moment, which is really killing me.
Last movie I remember him is Pay It Forward.
Yes. But Kevin Spacey plays a minority leader in the House of Representatives.
Oh.
And so, like, he is a very powerful individual. People who play minority and majority leaders, like your John Boehners, your Nancy Pelosi's, and stuff like that, these are the people that potentially could get into a position to run for president of the United States and honestly win.
Absolutely.
Because they're running the highest level office directly under vice president and president of the United States.
Correct.
Well, the whole point of the story, and I'm really not breaking anybody's butt here on this one, is Kevin Spacey is kind of lined up to be in position to potentially become a vice presidential candidate or maybe a presidential candidate, depending on how it worked out, and things go awry. And when you have a person who gets his back stabbed, who's as powerful as him, he's going to unleash.
Yeah.
And he unleashes in some of the most wonderfully amazing ways to watch unfold on television. Like, it is just an amazing show. House of Cards, season one, it's in full. You can download it and watch it on Netflix right now. Great show. That would be number two for me.
But currently, Kevin Spacey doesn't have a job because the government is shut down.
Yes, currently.
All right, so that was Mark's number two. My number three, we've talked about this before. Mark's kind of made fun of me, but the great show, Under the Dome on NBC. Love the show.
I thought you were going to Doctor Who for a second there.
Oh, no. Under the Dome is a great show. It's based upon a town called Chester's Mill. And basically what happens is a giant clear, we don't know if it's glass, plastic, what it's made of, dome falls on top of this town and segregates it from the rest of the world. The only thing that's in there is they have one radio station. We should get on it. One radio station.
We should.
One radio station, a diner, and then they have a corrupt police officer, a corrupt congressman. Oh, this doesn't sound like real life. But basically, they're trying to figure out what is causing this dome, how they can get out of it, as well as it doesn't have a huge sci-fi twist to it, but it's got a little bit of a twist that you don't really think you would be seeing. But it's definitely a great show. It just ended its first season, and you can pick it up again if you'd like to watch it on Amazon Prime on their stream, which you can get to by going to the bottom of the queuenow.com.
All right, number three for me is actually going to be a little bit of a throwback, and you guys are going to really enjoy this because the individual plays in two shows. I'd like to recommend both shows to you, actually, so I'm going to kind of do a twofer for my number three.
Okay.
A show by the name of Deadwood that used to be on HBO,
okay,
which is about the town of Deadwood, South Dakota, and okay, it's Western times, you know,
okay,
mid-1800s, late-1800s, and it's a Western town, and it stars Timothy Olyphant, and it's a really great show that kind of introduces you to some character actors who have become quite popular over the last few years. If you watch Eastbound and Down,
okay,
which is a very popular show with Kenny Powers, which is coming back here this weekend or next weekend.
Okay.
Is the brother, his sister's brother, his brother,
okay,
in the show, also stars with Timothy Olyphant in Deadwood. Great show. You can pick that up via the Amazon.com banner link at the bottom of the queuenow.com. You can get on DVD, Blu-ray. You know, it had three seasons. It was a really good show. It didn't finish off the way it needed to, but the three seasons that they did do of the show were amazing. Also, last show, also starring Timothy Olyphant, also an FX original, just like Sons of Anarchy, is Justified. Go watch Justified.
I've heard
Find
great
Justified.
Things.
It talks. Timothy Olyphant plays a Kentucky state marshal who is working in the Boot Hills in the mountains with the moonshiners, and he's the good guy, and they're the bad guys. And it's a fantastic show. A lot of great cliffhangers. Just really good show. So I would recommend both of those shows, both starring Timothy Olyphant, for you guys to fill your Breaking Bad void with now.
Absolutely.
Or Eastbound and Down, too, because that's really funny. Kenny Powers is really funny.
Yeah, great shows.
Okay, so we're at the end of the show here, and it's about time for us to get out of here. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about, first, theQNow.com. Guys, we have to continue to give you guys awesome free entertainment every single week. We hopefully do a decent job trying to inform you about politics and all that great stuff. Unfortunately, it does cost to keep the show going. So if you get a chance, I'd love for you guys to come to theQNow.com. Hit me on the contacts page. I'm going to try to get a donate button up there.
Yep.
If not, go to the Amazon link at the bottom of the page. Click on that bad boy. Go buy some of these shows we're talking about on Blu-ray and DVD. Amazon Prime.
Absolutely.
And basically, it's the same prices you pay for when you go to Amazon.com directly, except for it gives us a little bit of a kickback, you know, to keep the show going. And you know, we do need that money. Like, it helps us with the show. And I don't want to sound like I'm trying to beg for money, because that's not my purpose at all. We do fine for ourselves. But
yeah,
I think that if you're a fan of the show, I think that this would be a great way for you to help us out and just kind of keep us in your rear view.
Or if you have a business yourself that you want to let people know about, you can sponsor one of our segments. You can sponsor the BNN. You can sponsor letters from the listeners. You can sponsor Mark's Q of the week. We have a ton of different stuff here that you can we can help you while you help us.
Right, fair enough. Also, I want to thank Matt Kruger for coming on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Savage Vibration, no S. Little Bobby, who's now Big Bobby, Producer Bobby. Follow him on Twitter at CC Papa. That's SISIPOPPA. And you can follow me at Mark Bland, or go to theQNow.com. Follow us at theQNow.com. We're always live tweeting during the show to talk to you guys. Also, thanks to KYRO and WINI for jumping in with us every single week and syndicating the show out and letting everybody around the Midwest hear this show. We really do appreciate it. That's going to do it for us here on The Q. It's time for Overtime 139, ladies and gentlemen. Jump over to the website, theqnow.com. Click the Breaking Point blog. at the top of the page and download the new episode of Overtime 139. We're going to have some more letters to the listeners and questions from the listeners coming up on Overtime 139. We'll see you guys next time on the show. With a true boss to pay the cost, she giving away them draws. Word to the brown James, he's some chicken chow man. Really, man, you done say the silly things. And the Bella Dana Dane, why you cuffed and claim the name? Hey, my main thing, got my last name. Yada, da, da, man.